Honorable members, and the Department of Labor, Acting DG and your team, good morning and welcome. Before everything, I think we're going to have to introduce ourselves, because I see new faces that I haven't seen before. I'm Priscilla Temba. I'm the chairperson of this committee, representing Mpumalanga, the National Council of Provinces. My colleagues will introduce themselves. Other members will find us on the way. Yes, Honorable.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm Wisela Jacobs, representing the Free State and the LCO PMM.
I'm Herman Groenewald, member of the committee, representing the Northwest Province.
I'm O'Neill De Beer from the Western Cape, a member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dirk Feldman, member of the committee, Gauteng.
The Machelon, Dean Neville, Mabija, Iguan, Kupal, and Popo, Province, Delegate, Panoka, and the OK, the member of our committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I belong to this committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Roland Lenzana, representing the Eastern Cape and the NCOP, a member of this committee.
Linda Lander from PMG.
My name is DJ Mkhono in the Ministry, Department of Labor.
Apologies for coming late, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Sam Murotoba, Acting Director General, Department of Labor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Sianda Zondeki, Deputy Director General, Inspection and Enforcement.
Thank you, Honorable Chair Member. My name is Toby De Lamati. I'm the Chief Inspector in the Department of Labor.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Rekhaya Basti, the Legal Advisor of the Department.
Morning, thanks, Chair. My name is Shireen Caesar, Regional Manager, Spring Labor.
Morning, Nelson Shikumban, representing the local branch of NUM at Crossley.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Member Zoban Chigazan, the spokesperson to the Minister of Labor.
Morning, ma'am. My name is Melissa Crenia. I am representing the non-unionized employees from Aurora Management System.
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Chair. My name is Kenny Fick. I'm the Provincial Executive Manager of the Department of Labor in Gauteng.
Thank you very much. Now we know each other. I think last time when the committee had a meeting with the Department of Labor, the committee learned that the Grootvlei mining company was alleged to not pay its employees, and the matter had to be taken to labor court. Can the department brief us on that? Acting DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. When we received this request, we did everything that we could to put together a presentation which my colleague Ms. Fianda Zondek is going to lead. We did invite the trade unions that were working, that are currently working with us in this matter, as you will understand that this is a very complex matter that required also the involvement of NUM. We had thought that the Solidarity trade union representative was also going to join. That person is not here. We don't know whether the person is still coming. But with us, we also have Mr. Fick. Kenny Fick is also the chief director in the Department of Labor, under whose province or jurisdiction the mine falls. And he has been working very closely with the inspectors in that area. And we hope that in answering a number of questions, they will also assist. I'll hand over to Ms. Zondeke to lead with the presentation on the progress to date. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting DG, and thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I will talk to the presentation, of which I hope that the copies have been circulated. We've been asked to brief the members on the unpaid wages and salaries of workers at Grootvlei Mine. In my presentation, I will touch on the purpose, give a bit of a background on the matter, and also offer some update on the issue, and then I'll conclude. The purpose is to inform the Select Committee of the about the background and progress of the case of non-payment of wages and salaries of workers at Aurora Grootvlei Mine in Springs. Just to give a background, Aurora Gold previously traded as Pamotzi Grootvlei Mine and went into liquidation, as we all know. An arrangement with liquidators resulted in Aurora taking over the operations of Pamotzi. The minister visited Pamotzi then in August 2008 because of serious problems relating to allegations of employment of illegal immigrants, which were raised by community, as well as non-compliance with our labor legislation, particularly the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the Unemployment Insurance Act, and Occupational Health and Safety, as raised by the National Union of Mine Workers. And out of the issues raised then, our regional manager in Springs worked with the management at Pamotzi at the time, and all areas were addressed in terms of compliance. And then in February 2010, various newspaper articles reported on the non-payment of wages and salary at this mine, which our Gauteng province acted on it. We have a labor center which has jurisdiction in the area, the Springs Labor Center, which immediately made contact with the NUM regional chairperson, phrase in Amanyane, to discuss the matter and determine what is the true position in the mine. We also made a contact with Mr. Gideon Duplessis, the Deputy General Secretary of the Solidarity, and together with NUM and Solidarity, we determined that the following wages and salaries were outstanding as at 23rd March 2010. 40% of unpaid wages and salaries for December 2009, 75% production bonuses for February 2010. Wages for February were paid in full for 2,191 employees, 100% outstanding salaries for February 2010 for 354 employees, and 100% outstanding wages for March 2010 for 2,191 employees, 100% outstanding for March 2010 for 354 employees. When no firm agreement on the payment of these wages and salaries could be reached with Aurora management, our inspectors issued a compliance order in terms of our legislation. And with the compliance order, as we know, you are given time, a time period within which to comply. And this was issued to Mr. Bezaidenhout, who was the general manager of Aurora on the 31st of March. On the 8th of April, a meeting was held again between the National Union of Mine Workers and Aurora Management, in which a memorandum of understanding was agreed upon and signed on the payment of these outstanding wages and salaries. And in this agreement, it was agreed that all arrear salaries for February 2010, which are due to employees for Aurora, will be paid by the 9th of April. Also, it was agreed that all arrear salary for March and wages will be paid by the 29th of April this year. On signing the memorandum, all industrial action by no members will cease, and this is what was agreed in the MOU. And then NOM and Aurora, in consultation with workers, will discuss the resumption of operations at the Marievale shaft on the east, in the East Rand. On the 19th of April, we again met with NOM and established that Aurora did not meet their commitments in terms of the MOU, and that the following payments were still outstanding. For February, some employees were paid 20% and others only 5%, and not 100% as was agreed upon. And the outstanding salary amounted to 4.9 million. And for March, nothing was paid as promised, and the outstanding amount was standing at 6.2 million. For March wages, nothing was paid as promised, and 4.8 million was outstanding. And for December bonuses, 40% was still outstanding. And the amount at the time was still being determined. And this is as at April 2010. As a result of this, the department took a decision to proceed with referring the case for prosecution because the compliance order that was issued was not honored. So a decision was taken that they will proceed and refer the matter to the labor court. On the 12th of May, a notice of motion was served on Kwanda Global Mining Resources, trading as Aurora Gold. In the notice of motion, we were claiming a total amount of 16.3 million plus interest on behalf of workers. Aurora responded to legal services indicating their intention to oppose the motion, and our advocate, Bastille, of our legal services, is dealing with the matter at the labor court, and he arranged to meet with the legal representatives of the management of Aurora in July. And the purpose of this meeting was to discuss the outstanding payments and determine the intentions and plans by Aurora to pay these outstanding salaries and wages. Both Aurora management and their legal representative did not turn up for the meeting, and the meeting continued with a discussion between NOM and Solidarity, a representative of non-allied workers and the department. During this meeting, it was determined that payments were made to some workers, but that details as to who these workers are and how much was paid could not be established at the time. And under the guidance of our legal services, the meeting agreed that we'll proceed with the labor court case. And because some payments were made, we had to review our original court documents and correct the outstanding amounts, meaning that we had to amend the compliance order. And in order to determine the correct outstanding amounts and ensure that our case is strengthened, it was agreed that all workers must complete individual affidavits and lodge a formal complaint, for which we use a forms to do that, for unpaid wages and salaries. And up to now, we've been working on total outstanding amounts only. And the concern was that Aurora lawyers will request us to explain how we have arrived to the total amount. Hence, the agreement that let's get more information from individual workers. It was also agreed that workers who are earning above the threshold in terms of the Act will be excluded from the claim because they have other avenues to take up their complaint. Both unions as well as representatives of their non-aligned workers agreed to get this information from the workers and submit to the department. And in this regard, we have made our inspectors available to assist workers with the preparation and the calculation of the outstanding amount. And unfortunately, many of the workers at the time have left the mine and could not be traced. But we are processing and checking the documents received and hoping that more information will be received. We arranged again a meeting with NUM and Solidarity to have all workers at the mine on Wednesday, which was last week, where we will complete these forms in terms of gathering more information and detailed information in terms of individual workers so that we can submit this to our legal services. We also determined that Aurora was not registered with the UIF, and we managed to get them registered, and they were registered in April, and we have the registration number. And all information was forwarded to the Unemployment Insurance Commissioner's office for recovery of RA contributions, as well as any penalties that could arise. And none of the workers could claim for UI benefits at the time because they have not been formally retrenched, and the mine management is not providing clarity regarding a termination of services. And now, just an update in terms of outstanding monies as at last week, Wednesday. As I indicated that our inspectors were working with the workers to try and get more detailed information, also for us to amend our compliance order and prepare our court document. For December 2009, 40% is outstanding in bonuses, and the amount there is about 520,000 for 2,180 employees. And for March, it's 100% is owed, amounting to about 5.4 million for 2,413 employees. And for April, 1.4 million is owed for 105 employees. And for May, 809,350,000 is owed for about 101 employees. And for June, 100% is owed, and the amount is about 1.4 million, 402 employees. And for July 2010, 100% is due, and the total amount is about 1.2 million, 439 employees. Now, as I have indicated that a team of inspectors and other officials were set up to take the individual complaints and calculate the amounts outstanding, including other benefits like leave due. UI officials also will check if each worker is declared on the system, because that's a requirement, and obtain the relevant information in order to prepare for lodging of unemployment insurance application. And all documentation will then be checked for correctness and accuracy, after which an amended compliance order will be issued. And then in conclusion, I have indicated that the department has taken a decision that we're proceeding with the court case, because as in terms of our law, we have to secure an undertaking, and if that is not honored, we issue a compliance order. If that is not honored, then we prosecute, we recommend for prosecution, and that is where we are now. A meeting is scheduled between the department and the liquidators in order to establish liability and ensure correct citation in the court document, because we're also looking at whether we need to join the liquidators in the court document as respondents. The department has received wide criticism of bringing its feet in dealing with the case, but we must take cognizance of the fact that we require cooperation of all the parties involved. Otherwise, we have to take the long route of ensuring compliance to the law through the court. And I wish to assure honorable members, Chairperson, that we will do everything in our power to, and within the law, to force those who violate the law and undermine the rights of workers to comply with the law. We will continue to pursue this case in order to alleviate the suffering of these vulnerable workers. And that's the report, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the report. Hopefully at the end, the suffering of vulnerable workers must be. No, we can't have a situation where workers are, you know, suffering, they've got their families, and I think we must fight this. Honorable Sibande, Honorable Feltzman, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable DPA, Honorable Mlenza, in that order. Thanks.
I'm sorry, ma'am, in the flu. Department. You see, ma'am, today my voice, my tune will be different like before. Why? Because this is very sensitive and serious. And my worry is that some people, they don't take this government so serious. This thing happens in some of you, in your hands, because some of you are the directors dedicated to that particular situation. You were quiet. And then here I will come with a question. You know, it's worrying me because a lot of these marchers are marching to the ruling party, while the people concerned, they are there resting, doing absolutely nothing. And then my question will be, that was my comment, first comment. I will be happy if the government, I mean the department can give us the total number of the people who are affected. Because somewhere, somehow, it was reported that mine has employed more than 3,500 people. But in your own report, another thing, for another question again, I can't understand why also we were given, I mean, when in terms of in one of your slides in the background, the people, you know, the money which was paid was staggering. Sometimes the total number of people were given 100% wage. Sometimes people were given, I mean, employees were given a salary of, 354, sometimes 2,194. So it's not clear that how many people who are affected. It is not clear. And again, who owns that mine at the moment? And or who is running the managing or the management on the behalf of the is anybody running the mine on the behalf of liquidators? Because since the mine was put into the provincial liquidation early in 2009, it was not clear who owns the mine. Where is Aurora or whatever? But if it was owned by them, what is the, I mean, another thing which I'd like to find out, whether the Crossbay mine was transferred under the circumstances completed in section 197A of the Labour Relations Act number 66 of 1995. Trying to say whether the proper procedure were followed when they hand over the mine, or was it just the brotherhood, our friends, just taking on? Because the problem is one, proper monitoring must take place. Things mustn't happen like that. So these are some of the worries. And then also my last thing, there are a lot of negotiations with the mines, and there was an allegation that illegally mining is taking place. So my worry is one, why is this process is prolonged? Why do they give an allowance of the illegally people to do mining? So these are some of the things. I'll pause there, I'll come next time. If you give me a chance, then.
Honorable Pelsman.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honorable had already touched a lot of the stuff. What I would like to know from the department is the liquidation. I mean, if you go into the legal aspect of it, shouldn't this thing be on hold? I mean, there is money owned. Okay. Secondly, Aurora took over management of the mine on a judicial management. And if I can understand it, they don't own the mine. Thirdly is that from Odyssey Gold Mine, with whom did the employee sign the contracts with? They automatically went over to Aurora. Do they take the responsibility? And while it's still under liquidation, I'd just like to get clarity. Could they continue with the production? And lastly, ma'am, is that the security of the workers. I think that was also a very, very major issue. Instead of just only the money, it was the security involved also. Can we just have clarity how the security worked on that time? So for me, if I can get a background picture, it seems like Aurora was just there to manage and not to mine. But everything is coming down to Aurora. I don't know how does it work. If I can get clarity on it, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I've got a concern. I want to agree with the criticism that has been leveled against the department to say it is dragging its feet. You know, if you read this document, this thing started somewhere in 2009, and we are now in August, and this thing has still not even gone to court. We are still making preparations for taking this thing to court. And you can just imagine, for 1 month, if you don't have a salary, what is going to happen to you? Because that's why you don't get these people, because they can't stay in that mine without getting anything. And at the same time, we as a department, we are dragging our feet. For instance, there was that time when you wanted to make a litigation, and the mine said they are going to oppose. Instead of proceeding, you are still arranging for another meeting to talk with people who said they are going to oppose that litigation.
So for what reason did you go and speak with those people instead of proceeding with whatever you wanted to do? So that's why I'm saying I'm not satisfied at all, because it seems as if we don't take the concerns of our people into heart. Because if it was you would wanted that this thing should have been solved there and then, so that you must be able to get your money. And the other one is this issue of saying this thing was not registered. I don't know, in your system, can't you capture companies which has not registered for UIF? Because this also is a burden on these people. They can't even go and claim, because the company was not contributing. And what is our role as the department? Because we have to protect these people. As you have correctly said, they are vulnerable workers. So how do we assist these vulnerable workers? So I think definitely we need to be serious. We need to bring this case to a conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the issue of deducting pension from the salary as well as UIF and not being paid over, it's becoming not only a problem of this mining, but it's become a norm in mostly all of the sectors. What I'm knowing of, especially in the security sector, to find that money is deducted, no contribution paid off. But for me, which is surprising, in this case it's 5 months, and this is a mine. A life of a mine can be between 20 and 30 years, which means this deduction can be deducted for 15 years, and the department will not pick it up after the person is resigning and wanting, is claiming his pension money. So there is a problem in the system of tracing this payover from the deduction. I think that for me is the fundamental one. Because if our systems can't respond properly or act proactively, we'll always find this situation of gross exploitation from the side of the companies to the workers. Chairperson, I also say you see in the report in that there is approximately 1,400 people affected in this mine. In the area where the mine is, 40% of the unemployment rate in that area is 40%, which is very, very high. And a person begins to think that because it is such a large unemployment area, the fact that the people there is unemployed are being exploited. People are exploited because they are vulnerable, they have no other work. And as government, I think we put mechanisms in place to protect the rights of the workers who are exploited because of their poor. The other one, Chairperson, is that, you know, the question is asked, the ownership of the mine, who's owning it now? Because tomorrow the same board members who own the company is going to form a new company and make business in the same sector under a new company. What is there to, is there any mechanism preventing them to do business while they were liquidated? Because I know, in the environment, in the business environment when you find ourselves, today you are Shukushukuma, tomorrow you are another name, but making business in the same sector. How does we make sure that wherever these board members are making business, they'll still be accountable for this cost or the wages of these workers, irrespective of the sector which they are going to make, where they are going to make the new business. The last one, 7%, I also want to agree. You see, the MOU was signed in April, I think in the 9th or the 8th of April, the MOU. And one of the parties didn't honor the agreement in April. We are now in August. Next week and Wednesday are going to be in September. In society, if I don't pay my bond 1 month, the bank will notify me. By implication, it means that all the legal, the financial responsibilities of those workers, some of them might not have any property now, by now. Because if you owe the bank for more than 3 months, they just purchase, they take the property which you have an agreement with them. But that's I'm just trying to put my own shoes in the shoes of those mine workers. From April up until today, 25th of August, Shepherd, I can guarantee you, those poor mine workers are blacklisted. They are not owners of property if they had a bond with the bank. So really, we must try and fast track this case of these mine workers. Some of them, I understand when the department say they can't, difficult to find them, because they must find now ways to survive, to put some bread on the table, because they can't wait for a vacation, which they also lose faith in, because of the long processes which it's been taken by the department. Chairperson, lastly, you know, in business, when you apply for a tender, they call this thing in Afrikaans a levy, a retainer fee, where you must put a guarantee check. If you make a tender for 10 million rand, you must put 10% of the 10 million rand in the form of a guarantee check. That check is used for when these things are happening. When you are in the construction sector, when the buildings are cracking before people occupy it, or when there is false defaults on the building, they use that 10% to fix it. Is there any such mechanism in the mining sector? Because you must have something when these kind of things are happening to be able to have a fund which is put by the owners as a guarantee check and use that money to pay. And not only because liquidation, Chairperson, it means in real terms, people who first get their money are the suppliers and not the workers. The workers is there somewhere down on the list, but the suppliers will come first and demand their money, because they are in a position to appoint lawyers and advocates to look after the interests. And although the unions are trying their best, but they compete here with people who said, my money is much more than your money. I invested a lot, I'm owned by this company, and this is the reason why I want my money back. Thank you, Tepe.
Thank you. Honorable member. Honorable member, my
thanks, Honorable Chairperson. We may seem to be asking the same questions, but as I'm listening, Chairperson, they are not exactly the same. Like, if you look at the background, the first bullet on the background, I'm interested on this taking over of operations, Aurora taking over the operations of AMU. I'm asking myself, Chairperson, how? From Honorable Spande, this has been alluded to, but put differently. I'm asking myself how, because one would like to know, currently, is this mine under the judicial management of Aurora, or is it owned by Aurora? I'm asking this question, Chairperson, because one would then be interested on the transfer. When, for instance, I believe there's transfers made, it would be transfer of both assets and liability. I'm subject to correction. Now, one would then want to know, did Aurora in the process of taking over, did actually take over the contract of employment of this employee from Pamuzi. Who currently, let's assume, Chairperson, that there are outstanding money which were due to be paid to these employees by Pamuzi. Who is now liable for such money? Because, Chairperson, I'm asking these questions because one would think that all the rights and obligations between the old employer and each employee at the time of the transfer remain the rights and obligations of the old employer and each employee. You may find this aurora. It's a taken a toss at a person city by a year, by a telela. Hence they will always say we are ready to yes. Why don't we begin to ask ourselves why? Why are they so stubborn? Why are they so arrogant? What is it that they are holding that we might not be aware of? Because you cannot have such a situation where living human individuals are treated like this. I had that question. Now, the a mention here is that the minister visited the area. In line with Honorable Jacobs, you don't hear the outcome of the minister's visit. You don't hear in the report that after the minister was there, steps 1, 2, 3. The only thing you hear is 4 miners shot down in the shaft by security. And if you look at the order of things, this shooting of these illegal miners, who may be illegal immigrants, nobody knows, happened after the minister's visit. But you don't see as to what is it that actually took place. Lastly, Chairperson, I'm raising this because we are representing provinces. And when you are talking minors, you are usually talking people who are from our own province. They would move from the Eastern Cape, go for work, Cabo Springs, and all and all and all. And we could assist. If we could be given the list of the names with ICs, if possible, so that as we go back to do our constituent work, we are able to assist, avoiding a situation where we only come here to lament without any assistance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. According to me, quickly, but to you, Chairperson. You see, Chairperson, somewhere in their own slides, which is worrying me so much, they indicated that they also discovered that Aurora was not registered in UIF. But they're so quick to assist the Aurora to, they managed to register them on 9 April. Then there's also a registration number which is 1978806/3. Why is it so quick to assist Aurora to be registered while you are failing to assist the workers to get their salaries? That's a contradiction to me. And again, during the meeting with the NUM, you found that Aurora management failed to comply in terms of the MOU. Plus minus 11 million is still not being paid. The department referred the matter to prosecution. My worry is that on the 21st July, not long ago, Advocate Zakaya Bastile, they are saying he's dealing with the labor issue. My worry is one. For how long is it going to take? Because the problem is one. Workers are still awake. Some are paying cars, bonds, kids, their school. There's nothing said, but he was so quick to assist them to get to be registered. And again, lastly, it is alleged that 1,440 workers were retrenched, which was the 60% of his workforce. Is that true or false? If it is true, what is the department doing in that regard? Because if they are retrenched, something must be done in order to get the payments, etc., etc. That is a worrying factor. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Mabita.
Just moving forward from what Honorable Mabija said, there are two issues. It is this one of addresses, and the other one is of salaries, where the department cannot get the addresses as well as the salaries to reconcile the monies that are owned by this. I find it very unfortunate if the department cannot interdict the department, the mining, to get that kind of information. If they can't get it through letters, why can't they interdict the mining sector? Because I think that is another way of getting the information from Aurora. But to say you can't get the addresses, you can't get the salary and so on, it's not enough for me.
Chair, okay, this is out of proportion. But I think this is a shady deal, and it's a lot of political attachment on this thing. That's why it is so dragged. I mean, the Cyprus can go in to keep the people accountable. Was this thing registered? I mean, people are suffering. Let the truth come to the surface. Thank you.
Now the department. This is a really sensitive matter. And maybe if I'm disappointed that you didn't number your document. Very much disappointed. In your discussions on the unpaid wages, the last bullet says it was also agreed that all workers who are earning above the threshold will be excluded from the claim. How many workers are those? And the legal advice to the department, what do you say about this matter? You heard what members are saying. It's a concern. Bana ba wela mo pitse mo molong. Bantwana ba wela emlilweni. Balambile. Bantu, they are in debt. What are we saying about this sensitive issue? And how many workers are now in that mine who are due maintenance, if you can tell us, and their status? NUM, what do you say? Are you quiet about this matter? What do you say? You are the representative of the workers. What do you say? What did you do as NUM to make sure this thing is being speeded? Thank you. I'm starting with you. The members will respond. I mean, the department, the acting DG will respond to the questions of the members. But can we hear from NUM now?
Thank you, Chairperson. As NUM, we've been addressing this very long term with the Department of Labor because of the situation that is happening. I just want to bring in attention what is the current situation now before I can explain what we are doing. Is that in the hostel, the state of the hostel is so poor, is very poor now because we don't have a water there. Then the people, they have nowhere to go. Like the toilet, they cannot use it. Then they go to the field there where they're polluting the air there. And the nearby community is affected by the smelling and the people are sick there. So water, it's a problem there. Then the people who are living in the hostel now, they've got a problem of feeding, where there's nobody who is feeding the people there. Then as a result, it's what the people are stealing. As we are talking about the illegal mining, because the people are trying to feed themselves. Now the people have been repossessed their goods, then the children have been no longer going to school because their parents are not managing to pay the funds to the schools. On behalf of NUM now, this I will say that NUM as an organization have been tried by all means just to assist in feeding those people who are living there, because most of them are the old people. There's nowhere they can go. They spend the whole life working in that company, maybe 25 to 20 years being in that mine. Most are the foreigners which they cannot get even the pension for assistance. So what NUM did is that we've been talking to some companies to assist with money so that we can buy the food for the people, of which that we are doing now. Through our members, we are giving them food. Even now, they are getting that food. Then in the side of water, it's still a challenge. But we talk with the municipalities of Springs, which assist us, which putting a pipe where the people are getting water. But because this is a private situation, they cannot install that pipe in the mining area. So it's almost, maybe it can be 2 kilometers where the people are getting water. All the people who are living there, but to the people who are living in the squatters, then they're getting water from there. But while I'm talking about those reside in the mining area, now it's a challenge again as we're sitting here, because I'm not sure whether when we Aurora, this issue of Aurora, of waiting funds and everything, they can get it, whether we are going to mine again. Because as we are seeing, the mine now is being scrapped. Last time when we meet, we only have an indication that it's only one shaft that will restart. The other one is already scrapped because the people are helping themselves. They are buying the scrap, they're selling the scrap to the scrapyard and all those things. Yesterday we tried to talk to the managers there and understand to those who are cares, working as care and maintenance, what is the implication underground? Is that the mine is flooding? As in the press, we hear that there is acid water that is pumping. Then all those things is a challenge. So we are trying just to engage the management. But while we're trying to engage the management of Aurora, you find that you cannot find them in the in your company premises. We're supposed to go to Joburg Center, it's where we meet them. This always is a problem to us because they can promise you lies every now and then. I can recall that our last meeting with them was on the 20 July 2010, whereby we meet all the board members, board guys, from Columbus as the chairperson, Michael Harley. We see them with them at the head office of NUM, where they promise us they will pay us. They give us 2 days, they say the 50 million is coming from GEM as an investor. But all of a sudden, the money is not coming. When we try to trace them, then became a problem. The other highlight that we are facing now, which is a very, very big challenge, is we have got a problem because the people are dying. We have got a person who are working, who is owning a funeral parlor at Tamar, which is nearby the mine at Crossley. We asked him 2 months back, because there were 2 people who had died, to transport them to Lesotho, because those people are coming from Lesotho. So the company, they still own this guy. The person that we used to talk to him through the management side is Fraser. Now we're not finding him because they didn't pay the guy. Now we're trying to ask that person to help us so that he can transport the person back home. He is refusing because the company is owning him. So it's a challenge to us. We don't know anymore what we're going to report this matter to. So we believe that today as we are here is whereby we get the assistance. Because all what we are believing that this will be finished, the liquidators are protecting this. I think even the House can agree with me that on the 10th of June, before the World Cup kickoff, we provided the liquidators with a memorandum to show them that we are tired, sick and tired about these Aurora issues. We get a response, but even if I can show you the response, you cannot be guaranteed to read it because there is nothing that he's talking about. They just beat the bushes as if there is something indeed that is respecting or they have something with Aurora that we don't know. So it is a problem even to the side of the union to deal with Aurora. It's untouchable, this company indeed. So it's tough for us. But we try in all our best how to engage this. So now our power is lying to the government to assist you. If it can be possible, I will say when we go back with the same flight, you go with us and see what is happening in that mine. It's so disgrace. You cannot sit in that situation so bad. And we are tired indeed, but there's nothing that we can do. We believe maybe the government can assist us. Thank you.
Thank you. Acting DG and your team.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members. I think that the first thing is that we are quite aware of the situation. We take it very seriously. We have been there. And I'm sure if you can also visit that place, you will also see that that situation is completely unacceptable. I also want to...
You've seen the place. It's unacceptable. What have you done?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What have you done to change the situation of the department?
Yes.
What have you done to try and assist?
I'm coming there, Honorable Chairperson. The second point that I wanted to make, Chairperson, is that this is a very complex matter that, as the department, and the more we are getting or we are involved in this whole process, we realize that on our own, alone, we will not win this battle. We need you. We need political intervention. We need the assistance from trade unions. That is why we've approached NUM, Solidarity, the non-aligned unions. We need the courts to assist us. We need the employers to cooperate. We need the liquidators to play their part. We need the police, and most importantly, we need yourselves as members of the Select Committee and other parliamentarians to assist us in this process. Chairperson, the third point that I wanted to also raise is that before we come to what we have done, that there are a number of things that you may also want to consider going forward, that you have the power to also summon the liquidators to come and appear before you. And we would recommend that strongly, because we have been struggling in terms of a number of questions around understanding the exact ownership, who is actually in charge, who is doing what in this company, etc. And these are not issues that are easy, because in these transactions of liquidations where the Financial Services Board are involved, the takeover of companies, some of the things that happens are beyond our competence. But I'm sure, Honorable Chairperson, if you can also consider as the Select Committee to summon the liquidators, especially on some of the technical questions around the ownership, who is exactly in charge, etc. You will also be able to assist us, because when my colleague indicated that when you serve papers, you're dealing with a very difficult situation, because you don't know who is who in this company. This one is a manager, this one is employed by X, and this one says, no, I'm working for X and all that. And I think those are some of the difficulties that we are confronted with. But let me allow my colleagues to address members on a number of interventions that we have done as the department, and I will come back on some of the questions if they are not answered. We have Advocate Bastille, who has been dealing with the much more technical and the legal issues with us. He will lead on a number of those questions. We have Mr. Fick, like I said, who has been on the ground and very closer to the situation, including his team, with the Springs Labor Center, who will actually give you some of the details and perspective on what we have done. The chief inspector is also here with us, and he will also address some of the interventions in terms of the compliance orders and the difficulties that you have, which is why we are in some areas considering amendments to our current legislation, because and maybe after you have spoken, I will then give you the perspective in terms of some of the difficulties and what our limitation is in having to deal with a number of implants through inspection. But let me also highlight the fact that as we are here, I'm sure honorable members have visited a number of our labor centers. There are thousands of workers who are visiting these offices on a daily basis because of ill treatment from a whole range of employers within the farming community, within the construction community. And to us, I'm sure a number of our inspectors by now need counseling on the kind of horrible things that they come across when they go to investigate and when they confront a number of employers around how they ill-treat their workers. And I'm sure the trade unions were just beginning to shed some light on some of those issues that are confronting us. Maybe let me allow them and then I'll come back at the end on some of those aspects.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to give over to the colleagues, but I just want to first apologize for not numbering the document correctly. I want to agree with the honourable members in terms of saying we can't say people are untraceable, and the colleagues in their response will indicate what we have done. It was at the time where we required information, we couldn't trace them because they have left the mine, and also the situation of the current employer unable to provide the information that we require. But there were interventions with the cooperation of the trade union and our provincial office together with the regional manager. They managed to get the workers back. And currently, since Wednesday, they've been working with the workers to get the detailed information. So I want to agree that we cannot say people are not traceable, because there's also media where we can make announcements in terms of us requiring more information. With regard to the
registration... So since Wednesday, only Wednesday.
And before, they will give the detail on that. With the registration of the employer with the unemployment insurance fund.
Excuse me, Chairperson. I'm listening to this explanation and response to your question. Can we, with due respect, we have told ourselves we have ample time, let me indicate, to deal with this. Can we get the latest report? Because it means, Chairperson, this one is outdated. Can we please get the latest report so that we don't waste time on outdated information? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Let me hand over to the Provincial Executive Manager for Gauteng and also the Regional Manager to give the detailed, up-to-date information on the presentation and the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
We have a lot of things
health information. I don't see why the reason of you, with due respect, not to include information in the document. It is very high, and people must come and explain it better the way you can write it, and it means value for money.
Chairperson, can I just give clarity?
Chairperson, I agree what the honourable member said. You know, if we go deep into the thing, to the root of it, actually the officials from the Department of Minerals should have been here as well. If we read here, the liquidators appointed Aurora Empowerment System to manage the operation at Grootvlei Mine on behalf of the Department of Mineral Resources. What was the deal there? And when there is a liquidation, there's the master of course is involved here. I mean, we're just on the surface. We don't even go deeper. I mean, it is, we can run around the thing. We can run around it. Thank you.
Can we do this? Can we get the responses of the questions that were asked by the members and information that is needed as a matter of urgency? When we must get that information before the end of this week. The what's today? It's Wednesday. By tomorrow we must get, when you get back, we must get the latest information on this issue, on this matter. But for now, can you respond to the questions that were asked by the members? Kenny, you've got the information, you are in Gauteng, it's in the province of Gauteng, Aurora. You put down a report. Why don't you have the report? Because your report should have been added to the presentation. So can we get the responses on the issues? But by the end of tomorrow, we want a full report. Thanks.
I don't think
you must talk. Are you going to respond to the questions? Respond to the questions, but don't give us the latest. We want. I think all of you wrote down the questions. Okay, respond then.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. To the question from Honourable Sibandi about the number of people employed at the mine, we have received indications that it is over 3,000, but the number that we've managed to confirm to date is 2,545 workers. Of those 2,545 workers, as of this morning, we have managed to take individual statements from just on 1,100 of these workers, and our team will remain at the mine to take these statements until we have got every single statement. We hope that by Friday we will have exceeded the 2,000 number. We have found, as far as tracing the mine workers goes, the Honourable Member is correct that we perhaps didn't articulate the response in the presentation correctly. But what we meant was, at the time of starting this process of getting individual detailed information that will allow us to prevent the Aurora lawyers of delaying the process by giving them information that they cannot dispute, and that's what our effort is around right now. We wanted to trace every single one of these. Unfortunately, those that left the mine or were living in the community had gone back to Mozambique and Lesotho, and that's our biggest challenge. But by word of mouth, we are managing to trace these workers, and they're coming back to the mine. And we believe that we will be able to trace in excess of 95% of the workers that we've noted. As far as keeping up-to-date records, we are very privileged that people like Nelson Melissa and Gideon of Solidarity is working very closely with us, and they give us monthly updates of the payroll of the mine, so we have that information available. You know, even though Aurora Management is not cooperating with us, we do have the cooperation with the unions and the non-aligned members to keep up to date on that information. As the province, we have now dedicated a team to get the information from the miners, as well as dedicated a team of people to work with Advocate Bastille to make sure that our calculations, our documentation, and everything is in order, so that when we go back to court now, we won't have any reason to be derailed by the lawyers of Aurora, who are, I'm sure, members, honorable members will know that the lawyers will do everything in their power to derail us and try and postpone the case as long as they can. And we're just trying to put together a case that will prevent them from being able to do that. And that is the process that we are undergoing now. With regard to the question around the unfortunate death of the illegal miners, I'm very glad that Honorable Fausman has indicated that Minerals and Energy should have been here. Unfortunately, the Department of Labor doesn't have jurisdiction of any activities around mining at the mine. So we cannot respond to those things. We cannot even intervene, because we are simply told, you've got no right to be here. And those are issues that we unfortunately, you know, hope that, that Minerals and Energy will deal with the police services and be able to manage those things. So we are, we do have our hands cut. With regards to the conditions at the mine, our personal visits to the mine has indicated that conditions are poor, and we can only support the unions and the representatives of the workers in trying to alleviate the suffering of the mine. As a provincial office and a provincial directorate, our focus is in ensuring that we get compliance on the Act. And to focus our efforts to get that issue resolved. And unfortunately, all these additional issues that comes up around the suffering of workers especially, we cannot ignore them. And we try and assist as best we can. But we try and keep our focus on getting the information we need for our legal services to be able to take the matter to court, and not to have too much opposition when we get to court, so that we can get a ruling in our favor as quickly as possible. The Acting Director General has touched on the complicated issues around ownership, and I won't touch on that again. With regard to the Unemployment Insurance Fund, the reason why we ensured that we got registration of Aurora is to protect the workers. It's not to assist Aurora, because we're actually proceeding through the Unemployment Insurance Fund and SARS to prosecute Aurora for their non-compliance with the Unemployment Insurance Fund and to collect the outstanding contributions. However, from the workers' perspective, once we ensure that the workers are on the database and should there be a need for unemployment insurance to be claimed by these workers, the Unemployment Insurance Fund will pay the workers. The issue with Aurora we will deal with separately, but we won't penalize workers as far as unemployment insurance go by saying to them, because Aurora didn't contribute, we can't pay you. We won't do that. We will pay the workers, and we'll fight the Aurora issue as a separate case, and we won't disadvantage workers. So our entire focus in the province is geared towards trying to alleviate this. And while we recognize the criticism that it is taking a long time, it is unfortunate that we also approach this thing with a level of trust that the employers, Aurora, will cooperate and keep to their commitments to pay workers. And therefore, we sort of, they make a commitment and we wait, and then they don't meet their commitment, and then we restart the process or continue with the process again. We have now taken a very firm decision that no matter what Aurora says, we will proceed to court, and hence Advocate Bastille is here. To ensure that that process is not in any way stopped or delayed for whatever reasons there may be. And I hope that I've summed it up as best I could. If there's anything individually, I would happily respond to that, and I'll just run through the questions and see what I still have to respond to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just start by confirming the case is at the Labour Court. And there is no dispute with the employer. The employer is Aurora. I have been in the mine on Thursday together with the chief inspector and the TTG, and we have confirmed that Aurora is an employer. There is an attorney of records, Howard Attorneys. They are not opposing this application at all. They are the one who requested us to meet. Unfortunately, they did not honor the meeting that we had on the 21st of July. There is also a confirmation that there is an employer and employee relationship here. The issue of a judicial management, Section 197 of LRA, we have explored all those. We have taken care of all those. Unfortunately, we wanted here to come before we met the liquidator, because we wanted to establish whether it was transfer of stock and barrel. We also taken care of that as well. We wanted to meet the Aurora TTC, which was on Wednesday, it was on Monday. Yeah, but unfortunately, the liquidator was not available in order for us to iron out all these differences. One of the main challenges is the legislation, unintended consequences of the legislation. That's why the acting TTC will talk to it. You cannot just refer a case to the labor court. There's a legislative process that you need to follow. Firstly, the Act compels us to issue what we call a compliance order. And the other part is given, must have an opportunity of 21 days to object to that. So from the department point of view, I think we have done all that we expected to do. This week we'll be finalizing all the outstanding issues, because it also transpired that the wages that were paid in February, then we have to amend our papers. The inspectors, as our colleagues have already stated, they are already on site there, taking all the necessary information so that we can amend our papers. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just would like to... I'm in Springs. I'm on the ground. I work with these issues. I experience them. I see the condition. I just want to respond to Honorable Sibanda, if I have it right, in terms of how was it so possible for us, you know, to get this employer registered. I would like to share this with you, Honorable Member. This employer, we could not trace this employer other than having a letter with information on. We phoned. We could not get hold of this employee. People will tell you, no, this is not the correct place. I then, we're in constant communication with the unions. We have that relationship. Nobody wanted to tell me where this employer was. In fact, the department, they didn't want to share that. So I then received an SMS about a meeting that's going to take place somewhere. I actually hijacked that SMS, followed the people and said, please send me that SMS, followed that car until we got hold of the employer with the documentation. That's how determined we were, and at that point in time, to get the employer registered so that workers can ultimately apply for unemployment insurance benefits. That's how we got the employer to register. Okay? And to follow up, there was another question in terms of people were retrenched, how were those people assisted? During the takeover from Bambotsi, remember Bambotsi went into liquidation and then Aurora took over. Not all those workers came over to Aurora. Some of them became unemployed. They then came to us, they applied for unemployment insurance benefits. They were paid out. Bambotsi was registered and they were up to date with their payments, so those people were assisted. In terms of any outstanding claims regarding those people that were not taken over by Aurora, those people lodged their complaints with the liquidator, because for those people, the liquidator is actually the employer and not Aurora. Can I just respond to the question regarding the minister's visit? Yes, our minister came in 2008. The Springs team, even before the minister came to visit the area, who went to the mine. The minister then came thereafter. We started with this process. It was also Section 197 takeover. Pamotsi was also a new employee taken over from the Jong Inkosi mining. So these things rolls over all the time. So the minister then came. We didn't do an inspection. We did an audit because there's a sort of a difference between an inspection and an audit. Audit is you audit everything in the company. Yes, we found serious non-compliance. We've addressed the issue in terms of non-compliance by following our procedures. But in short, to say that after we detected the non-compliance, we worked on that mine for the next 6 months, and we got Pamotsi, before they got liquidated, to a level where we could declare that employer to say that, yes, they are complying. They also applied for a corporate work permit, and in order for Home Affairs to issue corporate work permit, the Department of Labor has to conduct an inspection and declare the employer compliant. To come to the illegal immigrants on the mine, yes, during the minister's visit, we became aware of illegal miners, not illegal immigrants, you know, on the mine. Those workers were not necessarily employed by the employer. It's people that, Nelson, if I'm correct, they were based at the hostel. They live there because, I mean, people come and visit, they stay there. So we then went in there. We went as far as arranging a joint inspection with the Department of Home Affairs. We went in one night and we conducted an inspection because on the employer's records we could not trace illegal immigrants in terms of being workers, because there was a corporate permit in place for people to be there. But in terms of people visiting the hostel and roaming around, yes, we Home Affairs together with us, we did the inspection, and that specific night Home Affairs arrested 61 illegal immigrants, and that's a process on its own that Home Affairs is responsible for. So that issue was addressed in terms of the legal immigrants that was found on the premises of the hostel at that particular point.
We are not getting anywhere, to be honest with you, Jack.
Let the department finish. After, you know what, they will respond.
Let me see. They will respond after responding as a committee. Then we will sit and look at their responses afterwards and see what is the next step that the committee must take. Can we let them respond, please?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I accept the comments from Honorable Mabitje around the information. I must indicate that there was time lapse, and I think from what the colleagues indicated or added, you will notice that from the time we prepared the presentation last week, because of the daily occurrence, there has been a number of other developments which colleagues added. It was not disrespect to the committee that not all the information was added, and I'm sure in the subsequent submission of information we will do that. There was a question around information on the people. Now, honorable members, as we collect this information, it is available. Now, we will need your guidance, because here you will be dealing with private individuals' information and their salaries, and in the management of that information, especially when you assist us, we will need to look at certain protocols around how you handle it and disclose it to other parties, because you will be talking about information and the salary levels of people. Our colleagues have indicated that we are collecting that information. Maybe the committee can then we'll look at how best we can break it down
from the provinces and maybe liaise with you and get your guidance around how you, and you want it and how is it going to be distributed in your offices. What we would want to caution, Honorable Chairperson, is a situation where people's information is put everywhere, that we need to also treat that with respect. But your guidance around that will assist. There was a question around the monitoring and how did this whole question of companies not being registered happen. Now, Chairperson, I think in our daily work, the minute a company does not comply to UI, and I've been involved in discussion with the commissioner and the commissioner of SARS, because we realize that that company is not only defrauding the Department of Labor. The fact of the matter is that it is defrauding a whole range of sections in our country. The company will not be paying tax in terms of the income tax. That is why they will deduct and not pass on the funds. They will not be banking the pension funds of workers that they are deducting with the relevant provident fund. They will not be paying the appropriate corporate taxes because they are not properly registered. They will not be paying the relevant compensation fund. And we have agreed with and we are working closely with the SARS commissioner on this matter. And it does not only start with this company, but because of this non-compliance to UI, honorable members will remember that the obligations or deductions for UI and deductions for skills development or that is payments for skills development levies and so on, all these are administered by SARS. But what we have agreed with them is to assist in the process, because workers would normally come to us and complain that I've been working and I've been dismissed, and when you check on them, you realize that the person has not been paying UI, and the source will normally be that company has not registered the worker. And when you go further, you find that they've not complied. But I must also share with honorable members that this issue of pension fund raised by Honorable DBS, it has become a big issue, in that a lot of provident funds that are deducting employees' pensions are running these pensions down. And when workers retire, they find themselves in big trouble because their pension funds have either gone down. And in the cluster discussions that we are participating with the Department of Finance, this issue is becoming quite a big issue, because currently the section that is overseeing all the investments of workers in Provident Fund is the Financial Services Board. And the debate that is emerging, or the proposed solution that is coming up, is whether we do not need or to move towards like other countries have moved, to have a situation where the workers' pension fund can either be regulated in a separate legislation, or you can have a Department of Labor playing some kind of a role, because currently they are not covered under the Social Security. They are treated as a financial section, and we don't have a legislation that deals with the security of workers' pension funds. And I think this is one of the big problems, or a big gap in our legal system, that does not adequately protect provide protection. Advocate Bastille touched on this issue around the mechanisms that we have to make sure that we are able to detect some of the problems that exist, and the Basic Conditions of Employment Act and the Labor Relations Act.
Now, among the things that prompted us to review certain sections, and hopefully once we have done this process and finalized it with the cabinet process, we will be releasing, once we get the necessary approval, proposed amendments. And those amendments are trying to give our inspectors teeth. They are trying to shorten this whole process that we have to follow of giving compliance, and then you have 21 days and a person does not comply, you have to come back and give another notice, 60 days, they correct one thing, and then you have to also make sure that you consult extensively, etc. And those things are making our inspection a mocker, because employers have seen loopholes in our inspection system. Hence, they need to tighten that process to come up with proposals around fines and to shorten the prosecution process. Because as it stands, we have got a very, very long procedure that we have to exhaust before you come to prosecution, and a number of cases get thrown out because in some instances we would not follow every little step as prescribed in the law, and hence there is that proposal to amend certain sections of our enforcement so as to shorten the process and to be able to come to the prosecution as speedily as possible. Chairperson, I think those were some of the broad questions. I think that I tried to cluster questions around the technicalities around the ownership. Advocate Bastille did indicate that there was this attempt to try and meet with the liquidators, and maybe once we have met with them, we will provide you with that information. But my recommendation, Chairperson, we have dealt with a similar matter with the Fidentia case. And when the SCOPA and the Labor Portfolio Committee summoned the liquidators, they were able to get much, much more detailed information around exactly who owns what percentage and so on, who are those people, etc., than the kind of information that we managed to get. We will give you whatever we can get, but I think you can get more if you get it from the liquidators themselves.
But we mustn't say to us, COPA and Portfolio Committee has done 1, 2, 3, because we're not going to do that because the Portfolio Committee and COPA have done that. We will do that because we are the select committee. We know our duty.
My apologies, Chairperson. I was just giving examples to say that when we had a similar case in other areas, that is the approach that we adopted, and it was just a recommendation, Chairperson. I was not instructing.
Honorable Groenewald, I think you are the last one.
Thank you, Chair. I will be short. I listened to all these complaints and things this morning, and I'm very worried. And I don't think that is the first mine who is in such a situation. There were in the very past also mines in the Northern Cape who through this whole situation where they just get rid of workers on the mines. So I think if I may suggest from my side and maybe the committee side, that we must have a very serious investigation by ourselves on that mine, so that we can get first-hand information also for the future. And I'm telling you, that's not the last mine. It will come in very soon, the next mine. And so that we can have and know how to react in the future. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair. I think what we must do is to get Department of Mineral Resources. You see this, if you look at Aurora Empowerment Systems, that is not a mining company. If you go into the history of this company, it's a historical disadvantage. There's no expertise in it. We have to start with the Department of Minerals and ask them. I mean, there must be evaluation for the company where they apply for a license. Thank you, Chair.
To Honorable Mabuja, Honorable Jacob.
Thanks, Chair. You know, it's difficult that we keep on talking and arguing while people are dying. Mm-hmm. You see, that is the problem. And then how do we address the problem? When the acting DG was speaking, I was depressed. The more he speaks, the more I was becoming depressed. The reason being, he said this department could have done this, this department could have done this, this could have done this. I think they should have exhausted all other channels. And then when they come to us, they should be telling us, this is what we have done. So we are recommending you as a select committee to do this. But now if you keep on telling us, this is what's done, this is how we have to solve it. We are not solving the problem. And the other issue, it is quite clear, this report, it's not an updated report, because in this report, Advocate Bastille, he says in the agreement that we will proceed with labor court case. But when he responds, he said, the case is already in the court. But in the presentation, they are still going to proceed with the case. So that's why I'm saying this year, it's not enough. The other issue that I wanted to find out, when you proceed with this case, can't you take it in phases? If you don't get the whole number of workers, you can take the first batch that is there, and you proceed with another batch of workers if you have found them. But to say we'll wait until all of them are here, it is also going to delay. The second one, there are some issues that have been raised by the comrade from NUM. I don't understand why, as a department, we are working in silos. Because if there is a problem, people don't have food. We've got a social development department. It's easy for the acting DDG to phone his counterpart to say we are having a problem in this mind. Can't you provide them with what is this, food parcels as a stopgap to the problem? Why do we always have to say this is our own problem as Department of Labor? We don't go to another department to ask for assistance. Just like an issue of water, counterpart in the water and forest department, or even the municipality. The municipality, they can even contact the municipality that you are having the problem like this and this. How can you assist? Why do we always want to work in silos? Why are we serving one government? Chair, I think we need to come up with solutions here.
Thank you. I was going to recommend that as the committee, can we finish and then sit down as a committee and come up with a working program to this issue? Because I think this is not the only, Aurora is not the only one. And as the suggestion of a summit has been made, I think that must also be part of what the committee will look at. And then we will actually let the department know. But the information that we are requiring by the end of tomorrow, please, can we get that report? And please, can we get a report on how those people are going to be assisted? Can we get a report on how they are going to be assisted? Because definitely, people can't live without water. Honorable Jacobs has already like summed it up. People can't live without water. You heard what the NUMS rep saying. People are now relieving themselves in the field. So, you know, the situation is as bad as you can imagine. So can we get this? I think this is our first meeting, and it's not the end. Soon, we must get the progress report on what is happening in that area. And maybe for the road, you check all your labor centers, acting DG. There's chaos in your labor centers, most of them. Please check with them, visit, and then tell us. You'll see the things that we don't want to say to you. This is what is happening in the labor centers. I think members, I think we must summit that way, that as a committee, we will inform you what we have decided about this matter. But at NDG, you also raised the matter of amending legislation because there's a loophole. Things can't happen because the Act doesn't cover 1, 2, 3. I think you must also look at that you must, as a matter of agency, amend the legislation. So that when we do things, we do things that we are doing it in line with the law. Please assist us. Honorable Jacobs, can you close the meeting?
Yeah, sure.
There is one thing that was raised by Honorable De Beer to say, why can't the department pick up when the company is not paying UIF? I think it's a loophole, but we are not coming up with solutions. So I think it's a high time that we make sure that companies, anybody who's employed somebody, register the employees and they pay their UIF contributions. So we need to come up with mechanisms. So I think we don't have to leave it at that. Let's try to see how do we devise that to close that gap.
Chair, yeah, just on the issue of the UIF and closing the loophole, we are in a process of developing a system where we will be able to have access to CIPRO, for instance, all the companies that are registered. That are operating in the country and will be able to see to it whether each and every company is contributing to the unemployment insurance fund. So we are attending to that issue. Thanks.
Thank you. I think your bags are full. And can. You must protect that bag in the flight so that you get home with that bag off, and then tomorrow you share with us. all of you, and we thank you very much for coming. And I think it's not a nice thing. We are all of us here. We are parents, we are mothers, we are sisters, we are fathers. We are everything. So the feeling that man over there is feeling, we are feeling that. And together we must sit down. You sit down that side, we will sit down and let's get together and see what we can do together to better the lives of the people who are suffering at Aurora. And I think it's not only Aurora. Maybe Aurora ibonakele yona, but there are other people who are suffering, and the Department of Labor must really assist us. We will assist you. Thank you very much. Until we meet soon. Thanks. The meeting is adjourned. Honorable members, okay, you can go, but not honorable members. Those who are not honorable members.